with liberty and justice for all.
Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Director Cecina?
Here.
Director Kelly?
Here.
Director Sparks?
Here.
Vice President Sennett?
Here.
President Ohilski?
Present. Before we have the report out of closed session by Mr. Seitz, I will report that we did not conclude our closed session, and we were going back into closed session after the open session. So with that, John, would you please give the closed session report?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. I'll be reporting on two closed sessions, one that was held Thursday, September 16th, 2010. August 26, 2010. I was looking at two. They all look pretty much identical. I apologize. That was a special meeting on August 26th, and that was the day before the mediation. The board did meet in closed session. The agenda announcement for that closed session contained two things. One was pending litigation, and this was the bankruptcy, the current bankruptcy. And two, the public employee evaluation. This was the general manager's evaluation pursuant to contract. As to the second one, we have started the evaluation process. It is not completed. As to bankruptcy, they did hear an update from legal counsel. The following day was the mediation, and that's the following day, Two days later was the mediation, and we did receive instructions related to that mediation, but no formal action was taken. But I must say, just to update you, at the mediation, it was about 4 hours from 4 to 2, and we did not achieve resolution. And as it stands right now, our debt adjustment plan is required to be filed with the bankruptcy court on October 1st, next month. So that will give you an update on that closed session. And then on today's date, that, in my opinion, the draft basin management plan is on schedule, so we're looking forward to seeing a public draft by the end of this year. And then lastly, under personnel matters, we did have the general manager's performance evaluation on tonight's agenda, and as the president has announced, that will be considered after the open session tonight.
Thank you, John. With that, then, we'll go to general public comment. Again, this is limited to 30 minutes, and it's for items that are not on the agenda. So if we could please get in line so we don't delay any time here. And if you don't need your full 3 minutes, we'd appreciate that also.
Good evening. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low-Income Housing. I want to read to you part of a letter that was a letter of intent for the USDA loan for the county's Los Osos wastewater project. And on the second paragraph, it reads, "This letter is not to be considered as a loan grant approval or as representation to availability of funds." That's not what was in the newspaper. That's not what the county staff has represented. They said, "We have a loan in hand." They do not have a loan in hand. And this letter makes it very clear. This is to Director of Public Works Paavo Ogren, dated August 31st, 2010. Let's be clear about one thing about this project. This project does not meet the USDA affordability guidelines, which are between $50 and $125, depending on how old you are, per monthly cost. $50 to $125. 125 being the high, and that's in the highest income population. So let us be clear that they also don't have met, they have not met one of the conditions. One of the conditions is that they have all the financing in place. Well, there's a big hole in the 218, the second 218, the one, you know, that was going to provide over $27 million of this project. There is no 218, not available. So I want everybody in this community to know that the county has misrepresented this project from the minute that they got the project 3.5 years ago. And they still are misrepresenting it. And they're comfortable with that. In USDA language, there's a bunch of rules and regulations that they haven't complied with. And if their application was fraudulently or misrepresenting, they are guilty, basically, of fraud. Thank you. And I would also like to announce that Coalition for Low-Income Housing is supporting a safe parking lot program for homeless people targeting families with children. And we're doing very well. The mayor is looking at a site they have in town. We're going to try to generalize this throughout the county so that every family can have a safe place to park at night until they get some kind of housing.
Thank you. Next, please. I appreciate you guys standing in line because I would like to get through this as quickly as possible. Thank you, Al.
You're welcome. Frank Cilio, Los Osos. First, I'd like to talk about the letter that came dated August 19th, 2010 from the Department of Army. I think everybody probably got one of those letters about the problems that we could run into with unexploded munitions in certain parts of Los Osos. They gave a map, and they also gave other information, showing some of the pictures of the ordinances that they have found. My question is the CSD going to put this information on the website? I see a head by Ann saying yes. It is on there. Thank you. The other issue is the, I'm going to follow up with Al's letter, talking about the letter from the USDA to the county. I think it's about 20 pages. It talks about conditions that the USD wants the county to follow to have this loan, how to set it up, the ecological issues, the burial issues, drainage issues. So they've pretty well outlined a lot of things. When Julie read it too, she concluded that the, and she could speak for it, that's a lot of similarity to what the Coastal Commission. But I would, here's what I would like to see. That letter sitting there at the, Julie and I went and reviewed that information and copied it out. I'd like to see them move that quicker to get it online than have it sit in the office. They also have the booklet, the May will be placed eventually. And I'm, you know, it's been, that information could have been online now. It's been May since most of that information. The letter was August 31st, the one from the USDA. But there's still documents we haven't had a chance to review on the emails yet. They haven't provided that information to Julie yet. So we're waiting to see what that information is going to bring out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, my name is Leonard Moodhart, Los Osos. I have a couple of items. First off, I would like everybody to know who I am. I am Leonard Moodhart. I am running for Los Osos Community Service District. And in case you're wondering, yes, I did shave off my beard, so there is no evil twin lurking around Los Osos. Secondly, I am a member of the Utilities Advisory Committee and the Water Conservation Subcommittee. And tonight I wanted to emphasize how important water conservation is to solving our seawater intrusion problem. I would like everyone in the community to take some time and visit our wonderful new website at lososcsd.org. I want to urge everybody to go to the utilities section and look under the water conservation. It's very easy to do this. And there you will find a multitude of good information regarding water conservation. You will also find instructions on how to calculate your monthly usage. I think this is a very important number that we all have to get used to talking about. We should maybe even have them on our license plate. What is your monthly usage? Because it's a number that is extremely important. So people need to start thinking about this so they can start gauging how well they're doing at conserving. So right now I think we have a maximum goal of about 50 gallons per person each day. That's per person in a household. So I encourage everybody to do that. It's very easy. And I'm sure anybody in the CSD office would be willing to help with that calculation, or you can hunt me down and I'll help you with it. So also while you're there, please check out Sammy the Steelhead. A lot of good information, especially for kids, and get us all thinking about conservation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And if it's passed, which is likely, this will increase your share of the wastewater project by $27 million. And how will that be done? The county, what I'm wanting is people to come and speak, because what they're doing is they want to put the $27 million share of cost of the undeveloped lots onto our $127 million assessment through rates and charges. And what I'm hoping people will come and talk about is ask the county to do the right thing and hold a second Prop 218 vote for the undeveloped properties. They need to be assessed for their share of the $27 million. And this will spread the costs throughout the entire area. And the rates and charges will unfairly burden the Prohibition Zone homeowners with the entire cost of this very expensive project. So I'm hoping everyone who owns a home and also renters to come on to the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, September 28th, and that will be around 1:30 p.m. So do show up, because it's your self-interest on the line, you know. Burying your head in the sand isn't going to make these costs go away. So I'm hoping you'll come and listen to the discussion and, protest this unfair burden on the Prohibition Zone homeowners. We shouldn't be paying for the entire project, including the vacant lot cost. And the other thing I want to, actually this is a question, because he brought up conservation, and I wondered if this board can do a conservation ordinance. I don't know if that's a legal question, you know, for the water ratepayers, you know, the LOCSD ratepayers, do an actual ordinance so that we have to conserve because of the saltwater intrusion, or if it's legal to have the county do a basin-wide conservation ordinance, because we're in, you know, level 3 drought, you know, what is it, level 3 scarcity of water, that kind of thing. And it just seems like we need an ordinance so we can stop the drain on the water.
Thank you.
It's not going to stop it, because it's too far in advance. It's going to have to be slowed down. One of the things that must be understood by those persons who live on the east side of South Bay Boulevard, that just because they are on wells does not mean that they are not drawing out of the water basin that the rest of us are drawing from, and that conservation for them is as important as it is for us. There seems to be a perception that because I am drawing water out of my own well, I have no responsibility to conserve. This is erroneous, and it must be made clear to the people in this community that everyone is in this severe critical problem, unless you're interested in turning on your faucet and getting salt water out of that faucet. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, Elaine Watson. To carry on a little bit more, The Los Osos Sustainability Group is asking you to support the county in establishing a basin-wide ordinance to address seawater intrusion. Without an all-out basin-wide water efficiency plan, we're going to be in very serious water crisis sooner rather than later. In this report I'm going to be giving you, Gus Yates calls our situation extremely urgent, and he calls for immediate action within the next year or two. The most efficient, effective, and economical way to deal with our water situation is conservation. Mr. Yates says that 500 acre feet can be saved by following his recommendations. There are others that can be taken too. We could do a lot of conservation if we put our hearts and minds into it, and it's going to take everyone, as Gwen just said. The county says it doesn't have the authority and have put the responsibility of this on the purveyors. The purveyors do not have the power. They can't bring the entire basin into compliance. And they, in some cases, they don't have the incentive to significantly reduce pumping, and thus their revenue. The county and the water board should be leading this because they're the only ones who have both the power and the authority to design and implement the kind of plan that we need here. The county has mentioned alternate water supplies from time to time. This can only mean desal. Or imported water. Cambria is facing a huge expense on a desal plant. Nacimiento water that's been slated for Los Osos. Project cost on top of your assessment and on top of ever-increasing water bills. So this community is going to be impacted in a very bad way if we don't do something about this. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Mr. President, my name is David Vogel, and I'm a candidate for this district. Many of you are not familiar with me. I moved to this area about 2 years ago from a similar community in Washington State, Vashon Island. And why do I say similar? Well, for one thing, you might guess that people that live on an island have strong personalities in general. We had a community organization similar to this, and the issues that we dealt with, the most important ones were often sewer, water, seawater intrusion, we were a sole source aquifer, and affordable housing. And the organizations that I was deeply involved in on the island dealt with all these issues. Moreover, I'm an attorney, and I have worked as an attorney for the Environmental Health Division up in Seattle. I represented the Board of Health, and I've been involved in environmental litigation in the past. In fact, I was involved in a land exchange that was the U.S. Forest Service. It was a SEPA action, a major piece of litigation, a $45 million land exchange. We were successful in challenging and getting it rewritten. Now, in terms of sewer, while I was the president of the Community Council of Vashon Island, which I was for 7 years, I was on the board for 15 years, we had a similar sewer issue come up where the health department found that five of the communities on the island were health hazard areas, and the sewers that they needed sewer solutions. So it only took that community 15 years to reach resolution, and I saw it from beginning to end. So I believe that I'm familiar with these issues. And why am I running? Because I feel that it's a citizen's responsibility to help their...
The board. This is candidate night, I guess. I'm Paul Malakant. I'm a resident of Los Osos. I know many of you. It's lovely to see you here. I think I'm highly qualified and you should all vote for me. But there are actually some real reasons. I have a background in finance, very strong background in law. I have experience running small and large businesses, really large businesses. I'm most pleased and most interested in the fact that the theme tonight has been conservation. Elected or not, this is the most important thing we have to do in this community, because that is the only meaningful water source that we have. It's the only way we can keep this community viable. Sooner or later, if it turns to salt water, everybody loses their house and isn't worth a thing. Awareness, personal awareness, is really an important theme that we should all focus on, and I hear it here tonight. As I've lived in this community, I've learned to actually think about when I run the water and to turn it off as I'm not using it, if I wash a glass, when I brush my teeth. These are not things that I grew up with. I come from a place where we imported water at such low prices that it didn't matter. It's important for us to do this. Moral suasion is a wonderfully powerful tool. There are also specific steps we can take to implement conservation. There are ways of creating funds that are self-renewing. And I intend to talk about them later on in the campaign and at the various fora for the candidates. I'm just here to say that I am running for this office. I hope to have all your support. I truly think that I can do a creditable and admirable job, but you all have to judge. And this conservation problem, this water problem, I haven't seen anything like this in any other community. It's a wonderful community, but we have to get on it. And we have to make the moral commitment. And 15 seconds? 30. And I've wasted 7. I know. There's a whole lot more to talk for, but I'd rather save it for the campaign and for a forum that I expect to participate in later on. But I do have to say we need a basin-wide plan. We need the county to take responsibility, because even if they don't have enforcement powers, they have the ability to create a framework. And once you create a framework, people accept responsibility. Not all, but some, and every little bit will make a difference. We can attack this problem from multiple directions and get a much better solution than if we just sit around and tear our hair out, which I don't have any. So it's a pleasure to talk to you all.
I think that Mr. Muthart said, in order to get timely notifications of meetings, one has to go on to and get into a listserv, and maybe Anne could mention that, and therefore get timely notifications. People who were on the listserv previously kind of were not added back in, so you have to do it yourself. On September 25th, Beach Cleanup Day. It goes from 9 to noon. There's several locations where that's happening. I hope Director Kelly can talk to that. Cuesta by the Sea is going to have a significant cleanup. That cleanup is probably a 5 to 10-year cleanup. There's several other locations. I get to do Baywood Pier. If you want more information, you can go on the webpage to EcoSlow. Also, Sweet Springs, in their cleanup, they're going to do some weeding on the 19th. This is all on September 25th. On the 19th, which is Sunday, Audubon is open to the public. If you aren't a member, it would be a good day to come up and find out more about it. I believe Sweet Springs may start to have cleanup and planting and weeding days back again. That would be probably the second Saturday, possibly in October, is where it'll start up. I'd like to thank the unsung heroes, the sailors who stand in a few inches of water, the Baywood Navy. They fixed up the dock, they painted it for boats art, and they kind of go kind of unmentioned, so I thought I'd mention those people. On a sad note, Louise Holmes, who was many, many years the owner of Merrymakers. She's an institution in Baywood. Merrymakers is an institution, too. She passed on Monday morning, and her funeral is Friday a.m. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker. I wanted to talk a little bit about websites. I heard some other speakers mention websites, and you know, the county used to be really proud of just about everything they said or did related to the project, and they would post it. And it became very apparent last summer when the Coastal Commission response did not after all the pomp and circumstance that we got earlier this month relative to the plastic check in puzzle pieces in front of the Board of Supervisors chambers on Monterey Street. This is not a commitment. This is a letter of intent, so to speak. They might loan us some money. This document should be on the website. This and every related document should be on the website. One more piece out of the letter that I think is interesting and actually somehow in your purview is the total cost of the project is now admitted at $189,245,000. Let me say that again. $189,245,000. Included in that figure is refinance of the $6.5 million that was borrowed for the previous project. Your board knows exactly how much of that money was actually spent, and there's about $2 million sitting in the county's control. So that 6.5 is incorrect. It's incorrect, and we are on the hook for it. Because that money could be redistributed back to the SRF if that's what the bankruptcy court tells us to do. With regard to the Los Osos CSD's website, lots of information, pretty pictures, et cetera. I'd like to see your committee agendas and their accompanying staff reports loaded on that website. I'd like to get an email push, you know, one of those little notices that comes from Ann that says the agenda's been posted. And then one more thing on the CSD's website I'd like to see are the accompanying staff reports to all the archived agendas and minutes. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, two more speakers, that's it? Lindy, are you the last speaker then?
I think so.
Okay, so we'll close public comment after Lindy. Thank you, Bo.
Hi. Bo Cooper, good evening. The county doesn't talk much about lateral connections. Lateral connection, they say, is going to be about $50. What I've done is I've looked at AB 2701. We're all familiar with that document. And in section 61105B1 of AB 2701, it talks about possible help for us. It says, the Los Osos Community Services District may borrow money from public or private lenders and loan those funds to property owners within the district to pay for the costs of decommissioning septic tanks and constructing lateral connections on private property to facilitate the connection of those properties to the district's wastewater treatment system. The district shall lend the money for this purpose at rates not to exceed its cost of borrowing and the district's cost of making the loans. I would like to see you guys be the point person to get good rates for us rather than 9.5 or 10 years. I'd like to see you guys get the community together and negotiate a good term with somebody. That would make a lot more sense than 4,800 homes struggling to come up with different rates, different banks, trying to do it on their own. The county's left it to us. And AB 2701, which is the basis for the wastewater project, allows you to do that. It doesn't mandate that you do that, but the opportunity is there. It's the basis that the county keeps saying we're doing it for this reason and opportunity to please help. The other thing I wasn't going to say, but Julie was talking about $189 million is about where it's at. I remind you that the assessed property value of Los Osos, according to the engineer's report, is just over $1 billion. The Public Utilities Law, in the Port of Cologne Act, it talks about a 20% maximum for public works projects being the most that you could spend. If it's at $1 billion of assessed worth, $200 million is the most that you could spend on a public works project. It looks like it's going over that, and I think that's going to lead towards trouble. So I can only encourage a less expensive project or working on doing good with the money. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I also want to speak on the USDA and the scenario that we're at right now with our sewer project. This thing has totally skyrocketed, and, I mean, it's gone from I just want to remind people also on our 218 paperwork and what we voted for, the developed properties parcels, a total amount of $127,146,000, blah, 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 to serve those empty parcels. They're talking about putting that on as rates and charges, so I would urge everyone to go into the update next Tuesday the 28th, I think it's at 1:30 at the county government building, and attend the Board of Supervisors meetings to hear that update and start asking some questions, because this I don't care if we got a USDA loan that doesn't look like it's even got the right paperwork on it. We are still short $62 million, and I don't know, I would just like somebody to tell me where that is supposed to come from. If it's supposed to come from those people that undevelop lots, I think you're crazy. You're going to have the fight of your life. Another little reminder that I think is sort of gone past the radar is that condition number 5 from the Coastal Commission says that no intensified use of current community properties will be allowed until the LCP, the water, all these issues have been ironed out. This could be years in the process. That means that a single-bedroom house cannot put on another bedroom, cannot expand. There will be no growth. There is basically a moratorium because of condition number 5 from the Coastal Commission, because of their concern that this project did nothing to bring our water back or save ourselves from the saltwater intrusion. So I really urge the community, it's about time to get mad again. This has gone over the edge of absurdity, and I think it's time for us to stand up for our rights. We said we'd pay $25,000 per household. That's all I'm paying. You can drag me to prison if you want.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. There was two questions asked, I think, that it may be the conservation ordinance. Do you want to discuss that briefly, John?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. The district does have the authority to adopt a water conservation ordinance. However, I would caution the audience and the board that the water conservation ordinance could only apply within Zone A, the water district that the district actually operates. And this has come in my prior life as district legal counsel. This came before the board on several occasions under different circumstances, but that board wanted to see a plan that included all water users, or all, say it a little differently, all water served by all the purveyors to their customers, which would bring all of the water purveyors into a common understanding of what the water conservation measures will be. And again, there will be a public draft of that document for comment prior to adoption, so sort of keep that in mind.
But thank you. By before the end of the year. I think the other question was regarding additional information being posted on the website, the committee agendas, et cetera.
Yeah, we're in a process of updating the website and populating it with additional information. Through the ISJ, we got a real comprehensive CD with a lot of information. There are some space limitations, and with additional space comes additional cost. We've been trying to be prudent about managing the resources of the district, especially in light of the current fiscal situation. We don't get a huge demand. All the staff reports, to the degree that we still maintain those, they are available through Public Records Act requests. We generally don't get a lot of those, so it's essentially a means of managing our
But we could resources. Put the committee agendas on. I don't think that would...
They
are. Oh, they already are. Okay, thank you. I'm going to step out of the agenda for a quick second. I appreciate all the candidates for the district coming tonight, and I would also just point out for the benefit of the community that the two returning directors, Kelly and Ohilski, are sponsoring a meet-and-greet with all of the candidates on October 3rd, Sunday, from 1 to 4 at the Old Schoolhouse. It's not a forum. It's just going to be an opportunity to interact and intermingle with the candidates. So that will be at the Old Schoolhouse on Sunday the 3rd from 1 to 4. With that, then, we'll go into the... Yes, since I did see you just barely make it in before the end, Richard, we will have it. Administrative and committee reports, then. We'll move on to The administrative reports.
Yes, good evening, President Ohilski, members of the board. Chief Veneris wasn't able to be with us tonight, but he did provide a report that's in the agenda packet. Regarding emergency activity, Station 15 South Bay responded to, there's a typo in the report, it actually was 115 calls in July with 9 simultaneous calls. 3 of the simultaneous calls required advanced life support. Of the 115 incidents, there were 75 medical calls with 32 requiring advanced life support provided by paramedics. 2 incidents were reported as traffic collisions. 4 were reported as fires, 29 as public service assists, and 1 as an emergency safety fair. It's scheduled for Saturday, October 2nd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Vaughn's Shopping Center, and there will be displays from cooperating emergency services agencies serving the Los Osos area. Station 15 staff completed adding all reserve firefighters to the target safety program. This program tracks new and recertification training, as well as provides new training to CAL FIRE and reserve firefighter staff. And regarding community outreach, on July 22nd, Station 15 met with residents from the Sea Oaks Mobile Home Park to teach the proper use of fire extinguishers in an emergency, instruct residents on which type of extinguisher to use in their homes, and to discuss mobile home safety. Staff were also available to check smoke detectors for those residents. Station 15 also continued the hazard and weed abatement project in Los Osos. Each parcel in Los Osos was visually inspected for weeds, debris, and other fire hazards. Notices were sent out to parcels that were in violation of the Los Osos Fire Code with regard to weed abatement. The initial notices were sent by staff on June 7th with a completion deadline of June 21st. The second inspections were done by staff the week of June the 21st through the 28th. 68 parcels were found to be still in violation of the fire code and were sent a second notice with a deadline to abate hazards by July 15th. The final inspections were done and 23 parcels were still found to be in violation. These owners were contacted by CAL FIRE and staff is working with these individual property owners. With that, I can try to answer any questions you might have on the fire chief's report.
Any questions from the board? Seeing none, we'll move to the next report, please.
Yes, this is the utilities report, and for the month of July, total production was 26 million gallons, equates to an average daily demand of 840,000 gallons a day. This is a decrease of about 7% over last year. 57% of the water service area was billed for 28 million gallons for the period of June 11th through August 10th. Which generated a revenue for the utilities department of $174,000 and change. It's interesting to note that the revenue decreased by 0.1% compared to last year, while consumption represented a decrease of approximately 6% over last year with respect to those numbers. And as usual, the agenda packet contains the graphs and tables.
Any questions from the directors? Seeing none, we'll move to the administrative department report.
Yes, thank you again. And I'd like to just mention we have brought on board a new information technology service provider. The company is Techtegrity. It's a quite a large organization, state-of-the-art equipment and processes for maintaining our computer equipment and making sure that it works properly. They're also in the process of purchasing the new server, which was previously approved by the board, and getting that set up with the district's utility billing and other financial management software. They'll also be doing a project to consolidate a number of computer servers that have kind of been added over the years rather than being replaced. And so it's a project to kind of bring them all together under just one or two servers for to limit the number of things that can go wrong. So we're looking forward to that. And as previously informed at the May 6th Board of Directors meeting, staff has completed an audit of certain district records and has obtained legal advice regarding the disposal of these records per our records management and retention schedule. The project was completed a month ahead of schedule. And then again, a reminder, as was mentioned earlier, with respect to the district's website, We do have a new website. It's very easy to access at www.locsd.org. The old address of losososcsd.org also works, as does locsd.com. But when you need to email staff, you have to use the old address, losososcsd.org, in order for the email addresses to work. So keep that in mind. And as was mentioned previously, the old listserv list was not ours. We didn't own it. So when that change took place, it became necessary for people to re-sign up for the listserv to get automatic notifications. So there's a link right on the front page of the district's website. Just click on Join Our Email List, and it's real easy to sign up. So, yeah, keep in mind, if you had signed up, even if you had signed up for the old one, you still need to sign up again on the new one. And that's the administrative report for this month.
Any questions on the administrative report?
Yes,
Director Cicina.
With regard to records retention, are we making disk copies of any of these records? Is this it? When they're gone, they're gone.
This is it. Once records are identified for destruction, they're gone.
That's a lot of them.
Their statement of water diversion and use program, the resource management system 2009 annual summary report recommendations status, and the state water project. Item 7 on the agenda was consideration of the county's integrated regional water management program. I voted to recommend that the Board of Supervisors pursue as much funding as possible for projects included in the county's IRWM plan in accordance with the established priorities. And the first priority is, of course, the Los Osos wastewater project, followed by the Zone 1-1A flood control project, and then the Napomo intertie project. And that motion passed. Item 8 on the RAC agenda involved the RAC subcommittee review of the Paso Robles groundwater basin resource capacity study. I voted to recommend that the Board of Supervisors require meters on all new private wells and that the subcommittee comments be forwarded to the Board of Supervisors. That motion passed as well. Item 9 on the RAC agenda was the subcommittee review of publicly released information regarding the ISJ entities of which the Los Osos Community Services District is a member. The subcommittee's comments were not inconsistent with the district's goals relative to the ISJ, and I voted in favor of forwarding those comments on to the Board of Supervisors, and that motion passed as well. Item 10 consisted of consideration to add a new RAC member representing development interests. After some discussion, there's consensus to decline the opportunity at this time, but to remain open to the idea if there was interest from the development community in having representation on that committee. With regard to the ISJ, I participated in two ISJ meetings this past month. Both meetings focused primarily on the production of the Basin Management Plan, as mentioned earlier this evening. The most recent version is fairly complete and contains a great deal of information to review. As a result, ISJ members have begun to meet twice a month and are digging into that document with a lot of interest and great detail. The ISJ is on track to release a public review draft before the end of this calendar year. Received a real positive and interesting update from the California Special Districts Association on their legislative activities. At this year's legislative session, as it winds to a close, the CSDA reports success in its efforts to monitor and influence the development of legislation affecting California Special Districts. Each of the bills designated by the CSDA as priority one in opposition either failed passage or was amended to remove the CSDA. Portions of Montana de Oro and the sand spit are formerly used defense sites, or FUDs. The concern and the purpose of the notice is to inform agencies and individuals of the potential to encounter munitions and explosives of concern. The notice included a map and a brochure with information on the types of devices that could be encountered and warned of their dangers, and we do have copies posted at the office and on our website. And there is also resources available listed on those postings where you can get additional information. So with that, that's my general manager's report. I'm available to answer any questions you may have.
Questions on the general manager's report? Okay. Seeing none, then, we'll move to the committee reports. Emergency Services, Director Sparks.
Thank you, President Ohilski. In the packet is the minutes from the August 17th meeting,
And again, the Emergency Services Committee also met this past Tuesday. A couple of things I'd like to point out, namely that there will be an AED defibrillator placed at the library, and I wanted to definitely acknowledge Vita Miller for her efforts in making that happen, doing a lot of legwork, as well as CAL FIRE, and also the library staff who agreed to undergo training in support of that. And then, as well, the board for the community center here is working to see that we can get an AED device at some point placed at the community center, but there are some issues to resolve regarding training and approval for that. As far as the meeting this Tuesday, we'll have the written report next month. The main item is discussion was the concrete slab project, and I'm not going to discuss that now. I'll address that briefly when that item's discussed later.
Any questions, emergency services, from the board? Seeing none, we'll move on to finance advisory. Finance advisory did meet. We met to discuss some policies and procedures for accounting policies and procedures. We had a lively discussion. That item has been continued for further discussion as to how we want to work with our policies and procedures. Our goal is to come up with some guidelines for adoption prior to the end of the year so they could be put into place.
No. We deferred the committee was presented with two strategic plans that had been updated by the utilities supervisor staff. We deferred them to have more of the committee available. They were the five-year plans. The previous district five-year plan had basically sunset in 2009. We did request that additional financial analysis be done on the impacts of these two plans, the drainage plan and then the water plan, with an executive summary to give more direction to the committee as it reviewed it, because we were kind of looking at it without a frame of reference. We were happy to look at it again and make some comments and refer it back to the board for their review, and then it would probably come back to the committee again. But no financial considerations had been made at that time. So we passed on it. We discussed the valve equipment again, and that basically the district purchased. The committee's discussion revolved around the fact that at this time the district actually purchasing that piece of equipment has been put on hold. We won't be looking at purchasing it at this time. There's another company that may be interested in purchasing it with several small utilities then possibly renting it, or still on the potentially on the table is a group of small districts possibly purchasing. But anyway, so the district at this time isn't looking to purchase that piece of equipment. And then, then the final issue was consideration of a leak adjustment policy that's been in front of the committee a couple of times. We had a very good discussion on that. We've kind of been through a long process of how to address these larger. We do have a policy and process in place for people who have leaks who request an ease of financial burden on that. We've suggested that Dan take some time and sort of write up our discussion and bring that back to the board for discussion so the board is familiar with how we actually proceeded through how we kind of went full circle to our current policy. Future agenda items that have carried over from a previous meeting that we still haven't addressed is a letter to Supervisor Gibson regarding to Dan will help draft a letter that the committee will support and then get that sent to Supervisor Gibson. So he's more up to date on what the district is doing and actions they are taking and moving forward and implementing conservation in Los Osos. And then our stormwater management plan is something we're still going to be looking at to talk about. And then just water staffing or utility staffing, just more information on who does what, where, and when. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Director Cicina.
The letter that we intend to send to the county, you mentioned bringing it or having it done in October. Would that be brought to the board at our October 7th meeting for approval to send to the county, or is that going to go back to the committee in October so that we're not going to see it until November?
You're right. Okay.
This has taken a little bit longer than it needs to, I think.
Well, there were a couple of actions we were trying to get implemented prior to sending that letter. One of them's on the agenda
tonight.
This evening.
Yes.
So you're right. So maybe we could, and then the ad hoc conservation committee is going to meet again. So maybe we could work on that letter and get it back to the board at the beginning of October for approval.
That'd be great.
Is that okay? Dan? Yeah? We'll work on it.
I should mention my intent was to merely create a factual letter describing water conservation programs and practices and our efforts to date and our plans for the future conservation plan. So if there's additional policy or opinion that the board would like me to include, if you let me know sooner rather than later.
And I think we just wanted to attach also the specific steps we've taken, our future actions, how we're funding it, mm-hmm. Kind of the chunks. And I have something I actually probably should send you. So yeah, it's just very factual. These are the steps. This is where we're looking toward. This is our goal, our target, 50 gallons per person indoor. And any, also as we talked about possibly maybe looking, we'll be talking about funding. I don't know if we'll talk about funding in this one, but anyway. Thank you, Chuck.
I'm not sure that needs to come to the board. I think that can go out on Dan's signature.
I'm not sure either. I just want to make sure it gets done in a hurry.
Yeah.
And just the facts.
I think it's just a factual recitation, then Dan can just get it out. So, and if you can take it to the committee and they're fine with it, I don't think the board needs to act on it.
That's fine too. Whatever is the will of the board, I'm happy.
Okay. All right. One other question, yes.
Yes, Director Kelly, I'm uncertain as far as the valve exercising equipment. We're not proceeding with the purchase.
Or the liability issues and the responsibilities around that type of agreement. That's my understanding. Dan can clarify if that's not correct.
No, that is correct. We've been through a number of different considerations with how to take advantage of the availability of that equipment or to create that availability. And we've been through the relative merits of the equipment. The current program that looks the most favorable to the district is for FRM to purchase the equipment, and they've expressed a willingness to do that and to make it available. I think what they would be looking for and what I would do if it ends up being successful is coming back to this board with an agreement that for long-term use of that equipment.
And I think part of the discussion around that was also in that equipment such as that, and we'd have to look at the cost, it's not been budgeted. We don't know the financial certainty of whatever we will be able to purchase in regards to capital equipment or whatever over the next couple of years. Can we set aside funds to purchase should we decide we need one, or do we set aside and budget a smaller amount to try the product out for a year or two and see what the cost benefit is to the district, then make that commitment to purchase. So there's a couple of reasons why we may not jump into a purchase agreement, just if not, my personal opinion is just based on the financial status of the district at this time and what funds we would actually designate to do that purchase.
But regardless, that will come back through the committee process once staff has a recommendation. So with that, then, do we have any director attendance at other agency committees? Yes, if you have one.
Yeah. I'll be brief. I attended the morning portion to the best of my ability, the morning portion of the RAC and the water master planning update. I wasn't able to spend the whole time, but my commitment was to be there definitely for Los Osos. I was able to manage that plus, so which was good. It was. I'm glad we were there, and I'm glad that so many people from Los Osos were there. There's some very interesting information on that they still have in the planning for Los Osos. That there was a lot of discussion, even up to they have to leave certain things in, but there were clearly, desalinization and imported water were not things that the community of Los Osos really believed should continue to move priority high reality for us as regards to our supply. Conservation is factored into the equation as regarding our supply. Seawater intrusion was analyzed as one of our biggest issues. So the process continues to move forward with the county with the master plan. All the information can be found on the county's website. I didn't make extra copies. I do have the draft outline, and there's probably a couple of notes in here. I have pipeline feasibility. That's what they did. They broke it out as potentially possible. And one of them was Nacimiento Water Project, recycled water, optimized use of state water. They all equated these as having potential, and the comments from the public at that time were, don't really think so. We're not really clear on how you think you're going to fund this, and when, and how. And so so they're still fleshing out, definitely, in regards to their prioritization of what's feasible and what's a potential and what's not a potential. So I was glad to be there. I do have, if anybody wants to take a look at what I was able to bring, they're doing a really good job as far as public outreach and holding public meetings, but there's still a little ways to go. So thank you. I think that's it.
Any questions, Director Kelly? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to the LOCAC report. That's okay.
I really do wish I were tall. So we have been working towards filling our appointed position, and we do have two candidates, Julie Tacker and Carolyn Atkinson, and they will be sending their statements of intent to Supervisor Gibson Monday-ish, and things will proceed from there. Our Parks and Recreation Committee is organizing and sponsoring a movie night, which will happen on Halloween weekend, and we will be getting out the specifics, the details of time and place and so forth to you just as soon as we have them. And I'm holding out to have an apple bobbing contest as well, but we'll see. Okay. That didn't actually receive much approval from the committee. I don't know why. Oh, well. In transportation and circulation, we've had presentations in both those to downtown. Currently, not a lot of folks are willing to make that kind of commitment. So, sure, there's not a lot of ridership now. The question that's up in the air is how much ridership there may be if a route is set up that's more direct. And we are encouraging folks who work in San Luis to use the express routes, which the express buses there twice a day. Okay. At our next LOCAC meeting, which is next Thursday, we're going to have a presentation by Tony Navarro about the possibility of funding for lower-income folks for the lateral sewer connections through a community development block grant. This is just for information. There's no proposal. It's educational for us. And anyone who has any interest in that, I encourage you all to come. Again, no proposals, just information for what it might look like, what we might be able to do, so forth and so on. There's been some disturbance in the force, and we have no land use items on the agenda this month. I simply don't understand how that happened, and it appears to be true. So I expect the meeting to be even shorter than the last one, which ended at 9:30 with all of our business done. We were thrilled. So, questions?
All right, thank you. With that, what I'd like to do before we go to comments on the consent calendar is ask if there's any item that's going to be pulled, because that will take a separate hearing. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to pull item F, and I do have a question on item H that hopefully doesn't need to be pulled.
Pardon? Yes. So 5F will be discussed separately. Do we want to get the question now on 5H, John, or do we want to do that after public comment?
I think it's just a matter of discretion for the president.
Well, why don't see if we want to pull it now so we can have the separate public comment.
In these list of documents, Mr. Seitz, there's a number of confidential documents as well as financial coming to as recently as 2006, and I just want to make sure before the destruction that, you know, it's your opinion that there won't be any destruction of items that are needed, you know, prior to the resolution of our Chapter 9 bankruptcy.
I'll try to have that opinion to you at the next meeting. As I read the staff report, this is just a heads up that the resolution will be at the next.
Wait, hold. Go ahead.
He has a question. Go. Yes. I'd love to hear it.
Right.
Sorry. I have questions on item 5I. And I wanted to discuss it. I think it.
You want to pull the item?
Pulled,
yeah. Okay, we'll pull 5I also. So we'll take comment on consent items, excluding item 5F and 5I.
One question on E. Has that been run through the Finance Committee? The whole idea of reclassifying the district accountant position?
No, the Finance Committee hasn't addressed that item.
No.
It's more of a personnel issue.
But it affects district finances.
I guess I
don't remember hearing about it in the past. And so I'm always just kind of leery about things that appear on consent calendar out of the blue. Thank you.
Do you want to pull it or?
Yes.
Okay. All right, any other comments by the directors? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to public comment excluding 5E, F, and I. Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. As far as the district utilities report goes, I believe the report specific to the South Bay Upper Aquifer well is inadequate. Is it working now? I know you sent a team out to do some work at some cost. All that the report says is that the team went out and did some work. Doesn't say what the results are. Doesn't say how much we've spent to date, and I will continue to ask for a project audit. Some of these items have been pulled, so I don't have to speak to them right now. I would like to comment on the Director Kelly's comments on the RAC, the morning session. You know, the district was invited to submit written comments back in October of 2009, and to date, they still haven't. You still have not submitted any comments to since you've pulled those other things. One little comment that I wish Vicki Millage had stuck around for, you know, maybe there's not any items coming forward through the planning department, but the solar project for the school district can be appealed. And the LOCAC recommendation was to deny all three of those carport projects due to the visual blight. That was their word. Visual blight that those projects present in our community. So I wish she'd stuck around for that. I think it'd be interesting if LOCAC considered taking a stronger stand as the projects do get appealed to the Coastal Commission. I'll be back.
Thank you.
Okay. Frank Cilio, Los Osos. I'd like to add on some questions for the administrative reports for Dan. Dan gave the figures about how much water is being pumped in a decrease of 7%. Since there's this cooperation between other water purveyors, do you have the information also of how Golden State's doing with their pump in and how much they have decreased their amount of pump in through the years? Because that would be interesting to have those that information, especially since you've discussed a word, and I'm going into my next subject, the basin plan. And when I hear the word basin plan, it conjures up in my mind everybody in the basin. Everybody who pumps water is going to be in the basin plan, which would include things that could be considered like landscape ordinances, catch basements, toilet washers, faucets, to be helped with funding in those areas, building moratorium until there gets a better handle on what's going on, changing the level of build-out numbers that have been proposed and get that down to more realistic numbers that actually could sustain the basin. So those are things that the ISJ people can do, and the county actually can do a lot of this also. So I don't know when I hear that, you know, there's certain things that we can do as a district. I know the county can do a lot more than they have been doing. Also, I'd like to, the question on the utility with Maria is that, you know, we've been trying to, the figures came out about how many wells are here without, that they have the ability to draft off that basin. I wanted to say also there was a meeting with the water board here about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and a number of people in Los Osos did speak, and I think that Dan may be interested in hearing some of those comments, not only from the public, but also what the water board stated regarding the seawater intrusion here, because I don't remember seeing anybody on this on the board or employees of the CSD there at the water board meeting. So it's recorded, it's online, you can access this. You just have to listen to the public comment sections. There's two of those. And the last one is the very end, so you don't have to listen to the whole tape.
Thank you.
Hi, Paul Malacant. I have a question about the records destruction proposal. Given the massive quantity of data that can be stored in modern media and the very tiny amount of space they take up, it's just difficult for me to conceive of a desire to destroy records and have no way of retrieving the data. So I hope you'll consider that. I mean, DVDs alone hold fabulous quantities of data. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, no other. Is there any other speakers after Alon? Richard? So we have Alon and Richard. Lindy, do you want to speak? Al? You need to line up, so because I need to move this along. Thank you.
Hello, Alon Perlman, Los Osos. Now is the time and the place that I speak to item H, which you will be discussing in much more detail at a future meeting, but I don't want to tie myself into having to attend that future meeting. You need to be a much smaller, leaner CSD. So there is a great amount of logic to reducing the volume that is contained in all those documents that you intend to destroy. Also, being that the law requires that certain costs for public information don't always cover, say, the dental record cost up and give very specifics as to what should be kept and shouldn't be kept. So my 25 cents is the video records. I think that what this district has gone through, not necessarily in your tenure, but in the past, is unprecedented, is historical, and so I would strongly recommend that you keep as much of the videos as is possible, and others would suggest other documents, but certainly the videos, it's very unlikely that the library will want to accept that burden, but I certainly hope that you'd look into it in terms of retaining those videos. Certainly not stuff that's duplicated or stuff that's been transferred, but that's the area that I would be paying attention to. And in specific, I did notice that there are some, there's attack videos apparently are included, and these may be duplicated by the county, but on the other hand, I think you should find out if the county is keeping the TAC, their version of the TAC videos, and also LOCAC and some joint meetings are on there, and LOCAC may not have those copies. Thank you for your time.
Next.
Lindy Owen, I wanted to also speak to the item of Agenda 5H about destruction of documents. First, I'd like to know, do we have a district's records management and records retention schedule, or is that just a new term that has been put in? There's documents here from 2000. There's even a couple that are older. There are some that are from 2005, so this looks like we have never purged many of these documents, and I think there should be much more discussion about it. I will totally agree about whether we could put them into smaller files. There's automated systems. We've spent so much money on computers, I would imagine we should have something available that could just automatically process all this and put it into some little small storage capacity. Especially the videos, AGP keeps them for a certain amount of time, and the library will keep them for a certain amount of time. But those are some of the most important records, I think, that we should keep, or at least offer them to the community. There are other people that would like to take them and keep them. The stuff that's confidential and has already gone through audit, I see no problem with that being removed. It's probably time to get rid of society. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I guess I'll weigh in also on this subject. When you hear people advocate destruction of records based upon economy, I think of the visits to courthouses that have many sub-basements and they're full of files that have been sitting there for centuries. And maybe those things should have been kept in better order. But in today's world, you don't have to have a bunch of sub-basements. And I think before you proceed in any destruction, you better find out what it would cost to copy this, all these things, onto disks. Because then it's there, and it's as preserved as we possibly can make it under today's technology. And then if somebody comes and wants to take a look, or maybe somebody wants to come and write a book about this great community after we've solved our saltwater intrusion and have provided low-cost housing for people and done all the wonderful things that, and I'm not being sarcastic here, I believe in these things, that one should be doing as a community. Hey, the records will be there for somebody to take a look at. Or if there's other reasons, and there may be all sorts of reasons we can't foresee at this time. And who's going to decide? You think the five of you really can do it? I don't. Not because you aren't all appear to be honorable people, but it'd be much better if it was there for somebody to take a look at and to have. So if someone walks in and says, I want to see a record from the beginning of the CSD, they'll be able to look at it. Think about that. That would be far more important than saying, well, you know, we didn't have room, so we destroyed it, then you're on your own.
Thank you. Al, and then Richard, and then we'll close public comment.
And I'm not saying you don't, Chuck, because I know you're a great gardener and I've seen your landscape. But the percolation rates in our in our soils are so fast that without some kind of biological activity and nutrients in the soil, the water that you put in the soil tends to percolate right down. And you'll find that the watering that you did one day, and it didn't have that kind of effect that it should have. You should have been able to water like once every 5 days. So the other day, the utilities department was out training a new staff person, and they came by and they checked the water meter at the duplex where I live. And they discovered that we used one unit for a whole month of water. We paid for the whole thing, right? But we were able to save that much water. And some of the reasons or the techniques that you can do to save water are really important. You can recycle gray water, putting it into this landscape or garden situation or planters, and it provides nutrients that form a little biomat that holds the water in place. And a good example is I have a little squash patch outside, which I planted a couple of, maybe 6 weeks ago or something like that, and now it's bearing fruit. And I'm doing just that. I'm putting this gray water in there, and it's working really well. So you can also recycle your laundry water, aerate it, and then use that for your landscape to conserve that water. So it's amazing to me how my next-door neighbor has a daughter, twin daughters, and they live there, and myself, and we were able to get by with one unit, which is a tremendous savings. That's going to have implications if you have a gravity sewer, because there won't be enough water to flush the solids to make the gravity sewer work.
Thank you. Richard, and then we'll close public comment. Thank you.
Richard Margetson, first comments on 5D. Page 9A, what we talked about at emergency services the other night, the clarification on, I think Chuck and Joe remember the discussion. Did you get an answer to that, the question that was raised at the beginning of the report, right after the summary page at the front? We now have clear breakdown of where the monies are for the reserves. The question that was raised the other night at emergency services is there some way in the future we can get some idea, it doesn't have to be to the penny, what portion of the general checking account is attributed to the water department or the fire department or solid waste or whatever. I think if we got that, then we have a pretty accurate picture of where we stand from month to month. With respect to the letter that you're sending to the county, I thought we also had discussions of adding a paragraph or an emphasis that we may have a concern with the retrofit ordinance based on the new mitigation factors for conservation, that whole discussion we had at Water Ops. I thought there was a letter, maybe it's not this letter, but I thought we were going to communicate with the county that we wanted that looked at or taken into consideration as soon as possible. You remember what we talked about?
I remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then my last comment on the records retention. I think this should, especially the financial statements and those, I think we should at least talk about that briefly at Finance Committee before this comes before the board again. Because some of these records were right in that transition period that I think we might not want to get rid of at this point. And, you know, through history, sometimes the minority opinion that's hidden behind the majority opinion sometimes comes to light down the road and ends up valid and changing, you know, can actually change history. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close public comment. I think that there's a couple questions that Richard asked, and I would just make one comment. I think that the concerns raised about item 5H, and that probably when we do come back with a resolution, I agree that that should go to the Financial Advisory Committee, at least relative to the financial records before it comes to us. So I think we're going to have a more detailed discussion on that when it does come back. I think it will...
Driveway drainage pad and final budget, 110-821 showing up on page 9A, and then it shows up again under on the previous page, 9572, line item 9572, total reserves and designations. It was just odd to see the same number, $110,821 exactly, under two different accounts, and we were just wondering if that number had...
I was able to confirm with staff that's entirely coincidental.
Okay. Okay. All right. And I think that Richard's comment regarding the allocation of the different accounts in the general checking, that's something that we'll have AMPI look into because we are trying to get more detail in that information. There was a question about the water advisory and the retrofit ordinance. Director Kelly was trying to recall.
I remember having the discussion, and I thought that, Richard, you were going to put something together in writing to that we could try to incorporate. Is that correct?
Or is it something separate?
I initially thought it was something separate, but I'm happy to discuss that with you. Yep.
I think this is going to go back to water or utility advisory, so I think you guys can hash it out at that. So the directors have any other comments or questions? Okay, can we have a motion on to accepting the consent?
Oh, I do. I have one on financial statements or the vouchers. Actually, there's a couple. 19797, check number, for a vacuum. Don't we have a janitorial service? Who is the vacuum for? And then check 19833, $800 for soybean crayons for education and promotions. I mean, that's a large check. That's more than our monthly office supplies for fire, for the office, for... That's a lot of crayons.
Cases.
Well, I guess I'm wondering what program that's affiliated with, and that's a lot of crayons.
Okay, I think we can ask a question, but if we're going to have a discussion, we're going to have to pull that item, so... You want to pull it? Okay. All right, can I have a motion then to approve the consent calendar? Seeing none, it's approved unanimously, unless you want to have a roll call. Nope. Okay. So, pardon me, with that then we'll move to general action item, general action A, which is to, preview delinquent water accounts and set hearing to authorize recordation of liens on private property in the tax rolls. We have a staff report. For everybody's information, the items pulled from the consent agenda will go after this item.
Thank you, President Olhulski. This item is for consideration or to preview the delinquent water accounts and set the hearing to authorize the recordation of liens on private property and on the tax rolls. The staff recommendation is for the board to receive input from respective property owners and the public. And then following closure of the public comment, the board can direct staff to investigate any requests submitted by property owners. Staff is recommending that a lien hearing be set for each of the unresolved accounts at the next regular meeting of the board on October the 7th, and that notice of the hearing be supplied to each of the affected property owners as required by law. There are essentially four accounts that have become so far past due that they would fall into this category. One of them, actually, this would be in regards to APN 038-481-003 in the amount of $307.56. After the production of this staff report, we learned that the home had been foreclosed on by the bank. The CSD had put a demand into the escrow for payment of the overdue water account. We filed a notice of hearing on October the 20th, as mentioned a minute ago. The home escrow closed, or the home closed escrow on a short sale on September 2nd of 2010. The escrow company had ignored our demand for payment, and the new owner came in and requested the account be activated. And since it's a new owner, we can't lien the property. We're actually looking to drop that one off the list, and it's for the amount of $307. It's any effort to try to pursue that money would cost more than the than that amount. So we're recommending that the board write that amount off, and we'll just pursue the other three.
You said that we were ignored by the escrow company.
Well, that's
which company was that? I'll make sure I don't use them again.
I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay.
I have a question on that.
Yes.
Why don't we just maintain?
I don't have the date, but while the escrow was open, the CSD did submit a demand for the payment of the water bill, and it wasn't followed through with in escrow. The escrow closed without that item being satisfied.
Okay, so it's your opinion it's not worth even as far as going to small claims court to try to get it from the escrow company?
Right.
Okay. And we'll open it to public comment on item 6A, which is the lien issue. No public comment. Richard? Richard will be our only public commenter then, and then we'll close public comment.
I've got a question dealing with the escrow. Did you get confirmation from the escrow company that they received the bill? Did you fax it to them or email it? Do you know?
I don't have enough information to answer that question.
Did they respond to you by email or in writing that they were refusing the bill?
No.
Okay, we're not going to have a back and forth. If you have questions.
Okay, well, no, those are my questions that I think you should be asking me because I think if you get the answers to that, you may actually want to develop a policy in the future because if it's submitted, unless the lender on the closing statement refused to pay it and adjusted the closing statement, the district should have gotten paid. And I think that we're going to have more of these coming down the road. I think you at least need to address that issue. They have a responsibility and they're only the intermediary. So either it had to have been the lender who refused to, and took it off of the closing statement, but they should have then notified the district. So we have to, some way of verifying before close of escrow, whether it's going to get paid or not, to know what the next steps are. Anyway, I can talk to you about that another time if you want.
I'll refer that to the Financial Advisory Committee because obviously there may be increased incidence of this occurring in the future. So we will agendize that at our next Financial Advisory Committee meeting. Yes.
I have a couple of questions. Number one, how much is the total amount of delinquencies? Number two, is that different from the amount of delinquencies that you're addressing in this item? And number three, if there is...
Not at this time, no. Our process for collecting is usually... gets them to come in before they get late notices, they get locked out. Usually by that time they're in the office that day and looking for ways to make the payment or paying it and getting their water turned back on. These are I'm speculating, but more than likely people who just walked away.
Right. Okay. And then the last question was, I mean, staff said that they didn't think it was worth pursuing in small claim court because of the expense and the time involved for a $300 debt. But
there would be expense and time. And as I said, for the people that just walk away, it would take some effort.
Well, my
to try
concern,
to track them
I mean,
down.
My concern would be we're setting a precedent to let people do this. So I think that we have to. That's why I want to refer back to the Financial Advisory Committee so we can make sure that we have proper procedures not to allow that to happen in the future.
That would be something worth studying, I believe,
right.
Yes. But in this particular case...
No, and I understand in this case, but I think we need to adopt policies and procedures that will preclude this from happening in the future, and that's why I'd like to have the Financial Advisory Committee talk about it. Any more discussion? Any discussion? Can we have a motion then, please? This isn't pulled. This is a general action item.
Action item.
Anybody?
Okay, I'll make motion to submit these delinquent bills with the exception of the one that has been settled.
So we're previewing that your motion is to preview the delinquent accounts and to set a hearing for October 7th, 2010.
Correct.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, we'll have unanimous roll call. Thank you. With that, we'll
Mr.
move.
Mr. President, I was thinking about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You want me to take a roll call?
Yeah, take a roll call.
Roll call, please.
Vice President Sennett?
Yes.
Director Cecenia?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Sparks?
No.
President Ohilski?
Yes. Okay, with that, we'll move to the items pulled from the consent agenda. The first item pulled from the consent agenda is item 5-6, or 5-6, I'm sorry, 5-C. There was a couple questions that Director Cecenia had regarding two of the...
Then there's just the soybean crayons. I mean, is this, tell me about the educational program, I guess, that demands $800 worth of crayons. Yeah. I mean, is this, right. And who else participates in these programs? Who else ponies up the cash for them? I just want to know a little bit more about it.
Is anybody on staff prepared to answer that question?
I believe that is part of the utilities department outreach program, part of outreach to the schools. There are little boxes of crayons. There are soy because they have to be non-toxic. Uh-huh. And it's gobs and gobs of crayons. They get the the little coloring books with the Sammy the Steelhead, and it's part of that outreach effort.
At Oktoberfest, Sammy hands out boxes of crayons with something, and coloring sheets, crayons and color. Sammy walks around and hands out coloring sheets and crayons to like whoever. So it might be preparing for Oktoberfest.
It's all part of our stormwater program and our BMPs, part of the Sammy board game, and those activities, they're all collective, all part of the same effort.
Well, that's my concern. If it will last for years, that's fine. But I don't know that it'll last for years. We could be back in March wanting another $800 in crayons. That's just, I don't know why that one jumped out at me, but it's a large check. I mean, twice what we spend on office supplies. And so it just seemed kind of odd. Okay.
I'll be happy to mention that in my next general manager's report, how much it costs per box.
Yeah, maybe, or maybe just a whole rundown of the stormwater program and what we do spend our money on.
Sure.
Because how much do we have to spend and what are we spending it on? I mean, for one, we need a new Sammy costume. If you've ever been inside that thing, it's hot. I'd rather see $800 spent on a lighter weight Sammy suit.
Or getting Sammy's suit cleaned, at least.
Maria had to put it on after me last year. I know she didn't appreciate that.
Okay. Any further board questions? Seeing none, do we have any public comment on 5C?
9-6, $250 to EcoSlow. I watched the replay of the board meeting that night that you approved that expenditure, and I did a little research back a year ago when the board supported the same project, the Coastal Cleanup Day, and you did not. You did not support them monetarily. It was a discussion item. There was no donation. So I think you got bad information on your recommendation to go ahead and fund that $250 donation. The other item, 19834, $343.75 for website assistance. You paid $8,000 for the web training, the program, et cetera, for your website. And then you have an ongoing $50 or $60 a month that you agreed to through that contract. I don't know why there's this $343.75. Is that several months of some accumulation? What is that figure? Thanks.
Thank you.
Richard Margaretson. Good catch, Chuck. I'm serious. I have the same questions. I think this would stand out anywhere. I don't care what district it would. Somebody sees $800 for crayons. You know, $800. We're concerned about water conservation. Yes, this helps, I guess, if it's for that program. But you know, how many door hangers may that have paid for, with pertinent information about how to deal with your landscaping or whatever, so it doesn't run during rainy season, anything. But the other thing I wanted an explanation for, can somebody explain 19824 South Bay Law Firm, $10,000 for legal services from 7/1 to 7/31. Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll close public comment. I think that Richard's question can be fairly easily.
SRF, that's the remaining loan proceeds from the SRF loan that are currently under the control of the county and or the court.
Okay, we're not going to have a discussion back and forth here. Is there any other questions or comments, or how are we going to do this then? Director Cicina, you pulled this item. Do you want to? You can't pull a check off. I mean, what do you want to do here?
Can I vote yes except for check 19833?
That yes.
Seems odd. Okay. That's what I intend to do.
Is there any other questions? Go ahead.
We don't really know why. I mean, this is so silly to be talking about crayons. There's so many other expenses where this district runs over, and we're talking about crayons. We don't know why Margaret ordered crayons, whether it's for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. We have no idea why, and we're just going to arbitrarily say no. We don't support. I mean, I'm not. I support it, but, I mean, it just seems weird to me. Should we just move the whole register to next month?
Can I just make a quick comment?
Yes, you may, John.
You know, under our purchase policies, most of these checks have already been written and paid. So sort of keep in mind you're not voting to not pay.
It's a symbolic. Okay. I don't like this without
the audience to understand that, too.
Yes.
Okay, I'll make a comment and a motion. I'm going to make a motion.
Quiet, please.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion to approve the warrant register. I would make a comment. I would like to make a comment, but I'm going to refrain from the relative value of soybean crayons on 19833 and 19824, the South Bay Law Firm, but I'm going to refrain from making that comment.
I'll second that.
The website
question?
Yeah, but, okay, I will answer that question because it's an oversight, but there's too much back and forth going on here. It's being very disruptive at this point. Does somebody have an answer to that question regarding the website expense?
I can have an answer at the next board meeting.
We'll have an answer for that on our questions for next board meeting then. Thank you. So we're going to we have a motion from Director Sparks, a second from Director Kelly. I would like to make a suggestion on that because I think Director Cicina was right on point with that. I think that this item does need to go to the Financial Advisory Committee prior to coming to the board. So I'm not sure that, I mean, we can discuss this item further, but that's where I would like to see this go ultimately.
I guess what I would like to see is maybe just an overview of the staffing and personnel levels and how it all fits together, because we're talking about some changes in bankruptcy and that kind of thing.
Perhaps I can bring a little more clarity to this item, if I may, if it's the will of the board.
Yes. Well, we're having a hearing on this item now. I'm just saying that that's what I'd like to see the result be, as this go to the financial advisor to be discussed in more detail.
I think as all of you know, there's the district's books have been, we've been trying to make sense of them since long before I came here. And things have gotten a lot cleaner and a lot clearer, and the Finance Advisory Committee has recognized that. And in order to bring that kind of clarity and cleanliness to the books, we still have a ways to go, but our district accountant has put in a great number of long hours, and it, out of the goodness of her heart, has offered to write a lot of that off. That's not something we can do legally. We've conferred with district council. We've considered we've considered the idea of including her time as voluntary to try to help control costs to the district. You can't volunteer your time in a capacity that is the same as the capacity for which you get paid. You can't volunteer that way. So in order to be in compliance with FLSA and also get some control over the district's finances, particularly with respect to the district accountant position, we make this recommendation to reclassify it as exempt, so that the overtime will not have to be paid. For the overtime that's been put in, it's our intent to convert that to vacation time, because we have to compensate for it in some way.
I think that makes sense, but that I don't get that from the staff report at all, quite frankly.
Yeah, I having been by the office last night at 8:30 to sign a check, and Ampi was still there working. I don't disagree. She's the best thing since whole wheat sliced bread. Best thing for this district in a long time. It's just that when it
comment. Oh, I'm sorry,
Mr. Seitz. I mean, do you see any issue with this staff recommendation?
No, and I do note that Ampi concurs with the recommendation that's in the staff report.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then, we'll open it to public comment on item 5E.
I'll say is that Marshall's recommendation that it go back to finance, maybe you're rescinding that now because you see the urgency or whatever. The point is, throughout your agendas, month after month after month, the committees are not getting a crack at it, and you're not getting enough information. So somewhere there's a disconnect, and I hope you get more information, better information, so that we aren't pulling items. We already have the information in front of us. Thanks.
Thank you. Richard? Any other public comments after Richard? Okay, we'll close after Richard.
I agree with what you said, Chuck. My concern about this item, and I think the reason it needs to go back to the Finance Committee, is the description, the job description section of this. This now you're setting in place what the requirements are for the district accountant. And I'll just give one example because I only have 3 minutes. But under training, equivalent to a bachelor's degree from an accredited college or university with major coursework in business, administration, finance, or related field. Where's the word accounting? Even if you add the word accounting and related field, this is an accountant position. I don't know what Dan's degree is. Was it business administration or business public administration? Under this guideline, you could qualify as a district accountant. And I think you'll admit accounting isn't your forte. And I think that's where we could run into a problem down the road. We've had problems with the accountants in this district. This job description needs to be firmer, needs to be clarified more, and be directed more to what the position is. There's a few other things in here, but it doesn't hit where we're at with major accounting background. Not somebody. I personally don't want somebody just holding a general business degree. General business degree, now I think you only have to have three classes related to accounting. And even if you have related experience at some public, you know, most people who start out in the public sector, I mean, yeah, in the public sector, they're in a cubbyhole someplace dealing with one section of that government entity. They're not dealing with the overview of the entire district or, you know, county or city or whatever. This needs to go back to finance. Even if you vote on it, which I don't think you should, because you're approving. And then my last comment is, you have ranges in here for the salary. Which step is she going to be starting out at? And that's not explained in here either.
Thank you, Richard. Okay, do we have questions? Or I guess I have a question based on my understanding. I don't understand why the job description is even in here. I mean, that could be taken out and come back as a separate item because we have a current job description.
Absolutely. This actually is the current job description for AMPI's position. The only change you'll notice right at the top next to 7090 accountant and the word exempt.
Right.
That's the only change, but that's why it's in here because it is a change. I appreciate Richard's Margetson's comments about the minimum level of training required for this position, but it's fairly typical of a job description to identify the minimum levels of training. Doesn't mean we have to take somebody at that level. We could certainly hire anyone that meets the minimum, however, and I have no problem revisiting this and taking it to the Finance Committee, but I think revisiting the job description is really independent of the action that's being recommended to the board tonight.
I agree.
And in answer to the other question, if it's appropriate, I can go ahead and give the step where AMPI currently is. Her current salary is at step four, and that's where she'll be positioned.
Okay. Okay. Who pulled this item? You, Chuck, Director Cecina. I don't know what you'd like to do with it. I think, given the explanation that
said that aren't really shown here, such as, you know, time base. Although there is no time base, it's expected, like for me, 40 hours a week. But if there's sick leave, it has to be taken in 8-hour increments or daily increments. And it's not really clarified here how you're going to handle that.
That's all my understanding. That's all part of FLSA.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's incorporated by reference, then we don't have a problem. And, you know, the exempt positions can, I don't know, the person in the exempt position can be exploited. But I know she's on.
Can only be exploited if they let themselves get exploited.
Exploiting herself. Right. But, yeah, I can see the need for this right now. Yeah.
Okay. Further discussion, Director Kelly? Director Sparks?
Yeah, I'm going to support. I want to do this evening. Again, the job description, I think, it's not a poor job. I don't think it's a poor job description. I think there's always things you could add. Comments were made, particularly to the last item on as far as the degree requirements. And again, it's defining tasks and the ability to do the accounting-related things. And I wouldn't get hung up on, you know, specifically having, you know, accounting specified in the training or, you know, there's ways in the description of this job description that people that would not have a bachelor's degree but that would have the experience through accounting work to be able to qualify. So I don't think it's deficient substantially to consider delaying this.
And yeah, I think, unless I'm misreading the board, I think there's a consensus that we'd like to go ahead and approve this, but we would like to revisit the job description at a future date. So if we could get a motion to that effect, I think.
I move that we approve staff's recommendation and Resolution 2010-20 to reclassify district accountant position as exempt.
Can we add with direction to send the job description back to the Financial Advisory Committee?
If that has to be part of the motion, sure.
Well, I'd like to...
Can't that just be a direction to the staff to take that back to
John, do we need that as direction, or do we need to include it in the...
I think it's always clear.
Time for them to review the future.
Yeah, my understanding is we're not going to take it immediately, but prior to hiring prior to hiring the next person, right? So it's not. I don't think there's a sense of urgency.
Okay.
Let's have a roll call vote.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Cecina?
Yes.
Director Sparks?
Yes.
Vice President Sennett?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes. Okay, with that, we move to item 5F, which is the fire station slab and driveway repair contract. That was pulled by Director Sparks.
Thank you, President Ohilski. The Emergency Services Committee, the main reason I pulled it is the Emergency Services Committee reviewed this on Tuesday, and with a 4-1 vote, they recommended that we approve this with an exception that the contingency, instead of being 20% in the staff report, would be 15%. And then I'd also like to highlight that, you know, in the recommendation, in the discussion, it mentions 20%, yet in the recommendation it says they approve the use of up to 15,000. So the 20% would have been 21,220, and so with 15%, that contingency would be approximately, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Gilmer, approximately 10,500.
The construction contract at $70,610, 20% of that, according to my math, would be 14,000 and
right.
Change, yeah.
That's correct. I'm just saying in the very first paragraph, the recommendation was to use up to 15,000. And that was slightly higher than, on the second page, the recommendation of the 20% contingency. They weren't the exact amount.
Yeah, that was a round number.
Right.
So the Emergency Services Committee is recommending a 15% maximum contingency. Is that correct?
The Emergency Services Committee recommended the 15% maximum contingency. And so what I'd also like to happen is, Mr. Gilmer, I don't know if you've gone back and talked to our district engineer. Your recommendation and the district engineer's recommendation was 20%, and I'd like to get your input to the board on what if you still feel the recommendation is 20% would be required, and provide a rationale for that versus the
a good bidding environment. Maybe there's other things we can do while we have a contractor here doing work. It wasn't my desire or to increase the scope of the work, but I did recognize that the rate of degradation of the driveway has been accelerating, and it's very typical, actually, when in pavement repair projects especially, that when you go out to actually do the work, because of the delays from the time when the plans and specs are being developed until the time construction actually begins, the damage to the asphalt can get worse, and there's often the need to include additional excavation, additional saw cutting, additional materials for repair, and so the recommendation for 20% is something that I still support. The $15,000, I realize that's a round number, and it ends up being around 21% or something like that. That was my fault for not making those numbers match more exactly. But in essence, I will make a commitment to the board right now that it's not my intent to spend the money because it's there. My intent was to have the ability to spend that money should it be needed. And we'll use my experience and expertise in construction projects and construction project management to only use that money if it's necessary and will result in a better end product.
Thank you. Any further questions? Vice President Sennett?
Yes, I was looking at the summary of bids and items that the contractors were to be responsive to and the attributes of their bids, and I didn't notice any mention of payment and performance bonds. is that part of our contract to require those?
You know, I don't have.
I haven't reviewed these specific specifications and front end documents, but I can tell you the ones I draft and the ones that are used for forms always have those two requirements in them.
Okay. Which is typical of Wallace's work.
I would think so.
Thank you, Mr. Seitz.
Thank you. Any further questions? Okay, we'll open it to public comment on item 5F.
Thank you. Al Barrow, Coalition for Low-Income Housing. In 2003, there was an earthquake here in December, and the structure of the fire department received damage from the quake, as well as some of the water tanks over on 16th Street. FEMA water sloshed down and was running down the hillside. And I just wonder, it seems odd to me that damage to that, I think it's a concrete pad, is that right, that is being repaired in the back of the fire department? And that was created by an earthquake. That was the damage that caused it. So I just want to know if I'm correct about that, because if that's the case, if it was already repaired by the FEMA money, why would it be repaired again? Or if it wasn't repaired, maybe they just didn't catch it and it was not included in the FEMA funding. So in any case, it needs to be repaired. But thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Julie Tacker, the dissenting vote of the Emergency Services Advisory Committee for this expenditure of, for those of you at home, $70,000. I don't think you've said that out loud. Last fall, I think it was, the Emergency Services Committee had a lengthy discussion on how to do a lot of this project in-house. President Ohilski was the chair at that time, and I would hope that you have the same questions that I have. What happened to those in-house recommendations, those in-house offers from CAL FIRE? Why aren't we talking about that anymore? And where's Phil to say, you know, whether those offers dried up or if they're still valid? I have questions of the board. Did you see the bid package when it went out? I think the committee should have seen the bid package. Have you seen the bids as they came back? Or has all you've seen been this staff report with this matrix of return bid prices? Because sometimes when you read the fine print, the contractor may be providing different work than the other contractor, and there's justification for the difference in the prices. But without reading them all yourselves, his comments on the finance committee, when did you consider it, and did you see that bid, and how on earth did the financial advisory committee support pipe that cost $27.49 a foot? Drain pipe. So I had to do a public records request to see that. Did you see that? Did finance see that? These are questions that really hang out there for me, because a lot of money is being spent, and this is the people's money. The people's money.
Thank you. Lindy, go ahead.
Lindy Owen, I was at the emergency services meeting, and what really, I keep seeing this trend, I think somebody talked about it earlier, is the information shows up 2 days before this board is supposed to be voting on it. The process is, I've never seen this process so ignored that it goes to committees. And Dan said that he had been looking at this for 3 months. That's three committee meetings that it could have been looked at and financed. This information should have come out through that process. We shouldn't have paid $27.80 per foot for, I mean, that's $27.80 for each piece of pipe without understanding why we are paying that. And I really, I have to object to saying that, you know, the low bidding, you know, scenario. Well, times are hard in case we haven't figured that out, Mr. Gilmore. People are willing to work for a lot less money, and it doesn't mean that you give them bigger contingencies. It means that you continue understanding that we are in a different bidding era, and there's going to be lower prices coming in for some of these jobs. So I think that I'm just urging that this board requests that Mr. Gilmore follow the process and get these things to committees that it should go to so that this does not happen month after month here. It's a process, and it works very well when it's followed. So I would urge that we don't see this kind of stuff happen again. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Okay, Leon and then Richard, and then we'll close public comment. Thank you.
Pipe. Now, this pipe has nothing to do with the project that you are going to vote on. It's been done. That hasn't been done, but it was contracted out. It was through the Finance Committee, as I understand it, and there's a contract to do that job. That has nothing to do with the pad. The fact is that the money for the pad, as I understand it, was also budgeted. It's in the budget. And the Finance Committee has vetted it. The bid was the low bid. The percentage that's being asked for will probably, if it is used at all, be used to take care of contingencies that are not visible. You know, when you start messing around with pads and things, sometimes you discover that there's other work that will need to be done. And if you stick to just doing the area that you've marked off, you're going to end up with a job that's not going to be worth having. So that's my understanding. Now, please, I put that as a question. If I'm wrong about that, somebody say so. But as I understand it, it's within the budget. It was the lowest bid. In order to start again, you'd have to go through all the process of rebidding this job. And as far as using, doing it online, I think I've made some comments about that in the past, particularly when we were busy fixing the problems that the county visited on our water district.
Thank you, Richard, and then we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board.
Richard Margetson, first comment that I think is important is it is a better bidding environment all around. And I don't think the contingency, personally, I'd like to see it 10, but 15, I think you got it. At the high end, you can't go above 15% contingency just because their bid came in low. Finance looked at the budget last year. You have those things looked at, then start another committee. This has been in the works, and I think, you know, getting it done before rainy season, my big concern is if the degradation of the driveway gets worse, and say we had a minor El Nino winter or a major El Nino winter, and we ended up with a sinkhole on that driveway before this project's done, we basically have one entrance to that fire station, and that's from the street. And I think that decreases our level of service and emergency response. So I'm happy the bids are lower. The 15% contingency, you can do with it what you want.
Thank you. We'll close public comment and come back to the board. I would just like to make one comment because I didn't get a chance to speak before, but if I understand what the district engineer is recommending, the rationale for the 20% contingency is because the work's going to be done on a unit cost basis, and that price is so low, we may want to expand the scope to pick it up at that lower price. Is that what you're, was that the basis for that recommendation?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, we're resurfacing all of the asphalt at the fire station. Well, that's not exactly true either. There are some parking areas behind the slab that we're not touching. This is the driveway and the upper parking area. The worst damage, the worst alligator cracker, it's called alligatoring, or the cracking in the asphalt, the worst part is on the driveway itself, which gets used by the large engines for accessing the back of the station. And those worst areas will be repaired. They'll be gutted out and recompacted and repaired. And then the entire thing overlaid. The overlay will include the parking area. There's no repair work needed in the upper parking area. The repair work's being done to the driveway. And as I mentioned earlier, oftentimes, and as mentioned by public comment, oftentimes when you go to excavate those areas, if the subsurface conditions don't compact well, you might need to dig out some more and build it back up. You might need to use more asphalt. It's the extra contingency allows the flexibility to make a proper repair once all the conditions in the field are known, when it's opened up and exposed. So it's not that we're doing more, it's increasing the flexibility to do what's right.
Director Sparks.
Yeah, it means that extra contingency is within the budget. I don't like the wording, and because of that, because of our district's engineer, I'd like to keep the contingency to a minimum, but because of our district's engineer's recommendation and wanting to make sure we can do this job without coming back, I hope there's no contingency. But, you know, the information that's been given about potential degradation, I'm going to go with what the district's engineer's recommendation is. And that's, when we get to that point, that's what I'll make my motion.
Further. Director Cicina?
Yeah, I have a pretty similar point of view. Having sat through that committee meeting the other night, particularly asphalt patching and paving is not like designing a building and having a set of plans and that's what you get. You do start a project and you find unknowns sometimes. And that doesn't mean that you have to spend the 20%. It means you have the flexibility and the option. And I kind of got the feeling that the cut and the contingency was just a way of having an effect on a decision. And I tend to think that our district engineer probably has a better feel for what really is needed here. This thing's been budgeted. We talked about it for years. I don't think it was on an agenda particularly, but we talked about it several times during the budget process for the fire department. It was mentioned several times. This is going out to bid soon. It's there, it's there, it's there. This is our fire department. The idea of, and it's, you know, when you're really strapped for money, you do consider all things, but the idea of having the fire crew down there to lay forms and pour concrete, we talked about having a prison crew come in to help. Our own water crew is coming into logistics of that. It's our fire department. You're parking huge, weighty emergency services vehicles on it. I want it done right. The fire department could not guarantee the work the way that a contractor's, the bonds and insurance, you know, all that. I want to move this ahead with the 20% contingency.
Vice President Sennett.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not only the unknown, but you have to test the bearing capacity of the soils. Maybe they were done without exact science initially, and that's why you see the failures. So it's important to establish a proper structural section, and that isn't known until you get insufficient bearing capacity is established with the paving thickness, and it's a total waste of money. It just degrades prematurely. So, you know, the method to allow the general manager to construct the project to the best efficiency and best long-term strategy for the fire department. I think it's a prudent thing to do to allow additional funds to be allocated where it's going to be beneficial, and either by establishing a higher contingency or authorizing a augmentation in the bid quantities. Either way, I think we could do it. So I'm in favor of it by any method.
Okay, thank you. I'd just like to make just a couple of quick comments. I was the chair of the ESAC last year. Chuck was on the committee last year and this year, and we did discuss this in depth. We discussed the possibility of doing it in-house. We discussed the ability or possibility of doing it with prison labor. I mean, we've gone all over this. The amount here is not just under the budgeted amount. It's significantly under the budget amount. Even with the 20% contingent, we're still $30,000 under the budgeted amount. So I think that, in this case, I'm not going to micromanage staff. I mean, we have the district engineer recommends approval, and I'm comfortable with going forward based on the recommendation. So further discussion or motion?
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and make a motion. And again, before I do that, I want to thank the committees from last year and this year as well as staff. And ultimately, this is going to result in a better public safety for our fire crew, and that's the important thing. And so with that, I'll make a motion that we award to the lowest responsible bidder and to authorize the general manager a contingency of up to 20%.
I'll second.
Can we have a roll call? Or no further discussion. We'll have a roll call vote, please.
Director Sparks?
Yes.
Director Cecenia?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Sennett?
Yes.
President Ovdolsky?
Yes. With that, then, we'll go to the last item on the agenda tonight, which was pulled by Vice President Sennett.
Nicely written. Exhibit A for the job description. Under education, it's very uncertain. It doesn't establish the need for any formal training or certifications, which I think are desirable. As far as knowledge and skills, I think we need to require that this individual demonstrate work experience in related fields of water use and conservation. And instead of learning the proper practices, as it's termed here, we need someone with knowledge of. Otherwise, I think we should, this, as it's written, sounds like we're going to be hiring someone that we could get from Cal Poly as someone doing a senior project. I think we need to tighten it up and get some language in here that's going to establish some desirable certifications and industry or government recognized standards for water conservation.
I think we're in a position again where we're
Like to respond?
I think we're in a position again not similar with AMPI, whereas the job description doesn't reflect the quality of the person we're actually trying to hire. The person that's actually named in the temporary contract has extensive water auditing experience for at least three agencies. I think this was the base minimum that Ron helped kind of pass over from the city of San Luis. It doesn't list, we don't have Justin's credentials here, which I guess we could have had his extensive experience actually developing and implementing and was trained in San Luis and other, actually, well, it doesn't matter. His experience is not reflective in this job experience, in this job description, so I'm not sure how we go. Dan, you want to comment on that?
Director Kelly is absolutely right. It's a, again, it's a job description that states some minimum qualifications.
Dan, really, can we keep it down out there because it's impossible for us to hear up here? Thank you.
For the most part, this job description was and I my apologies. I do have a resume from Justin Finch. He is extensively qualified for this work, and not only that, but a very personable individual. This job will include direct contact with the residents of Los Osos, and I just think he's an excellent candidate for the job.
Well, you know, I have ultimate respect and admiration for Mr. Munz, and I recognize his expertise. I think it's a deal we're getting, undeniably. But I think the job description and duty statement should correspond more closely with his abilities. It's just a note. I see there's a discontinuity between his resume, his abilities, and the job description. Okay. Otherwise, I'm all for it. Establishing the position and hiring Mr. Munz.
I think if I could interject here, I think if we're this is to hire Justin, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And I don't think anybody disputes the duties that are in the Exhibit A. If you're questioning the credentials, that's not really specific to Justin because he already has the credentials he has. So if we could move forward maybe with hiring Justin with those duties in lieu of discussing criteria or qualifications that he meets by far, because we're not setting a position here for interview, Steve. We're just hiring Justin and saying these are his duties.
And this is not a permanent position either. It's part of his duties will be to help train staff and give them the benefit of his knowledge in conducting water audits. And some district staff have been trained to some level to do audits, just not to his level. And so we're really looking to him to bring us up to that speed.
As well as help develop the other forms of communication that we would use to make contact with residents.
Well, I think if you go through the duties, I mean, that's all clearly specified in there of what we'd be anticipating or expecting from him. So I don't have the concern that...
I will support this. I just, the one aspect of it at the end of the discussion was, again, this training aspect of district staff. And so I hope, to me, that is, I know this is to kick off doing that, but to me the most important part is that we get this education and training job shadowing with our district staff develop as a result of this.
I think we agree on that. Okay, we'll go to public comment. I would remind everybody that we have a 10 o'clock deadline, and I would hope that we're not going to go over that tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrell, Coalition for Low-Income Housing. I think this is a really good thing that everybody wants, is to have an audit to help people figure out how they can save water or use their water better. And I think Slow Green Build has a lot of great ideas. Their AT, their Appropriate Technologies Committee, has worked on this. The gray water and other water savings that you can use, rain barrels or whatever, and keeping water on site and swales and all those kinds of things. So I think it's a good item. But I also think you could augment this to make it a more effective program using volunteers. And I think the chair mentioned Cal Poly. I think there are volunteers that could assist. It sounds like a bookkeeper position to me if it's 10, 20 hours a week. I don't know how many houses you can go out and evaluate over a year's time with a part-time worker, seasonal worker, as it's described. So I would recommend that you would, if you do hire that person, you direct them to contact various organizations. One organization is called RSVP, and there's 1,600 senior volunteers that are registered for that, and you can ask them if they would like to come and help in that effort. So I think it's a good program. Thanks.
Thank you. Next.
Leonard Muthart, Los Osos, member of the Utilities Advisory Committee. I do want to add my support, of course, for this employee. Does come highly qualified or highly recommended by Ron, and he's worked in various. Spend too much. I don't want to spend more time talking how important the water conservation program is in regards to all the other element, all the other, you know, in terms of all the ISJ that has a water conservation element. The county project has a water conservation element, and I think if Los Osos can get our program together and make a model program, we're just that much more ahead of the ball game to show these other entities that we've got a program, we're rolling, and we'll be the ones that will make the decisions or help show them how we want it in our community. One issue that we might consider here is the job description seems fine, but the contract doesn't really match that. There's a couple of elements in here that as far as the amount of time that in the contract, it has him up to 40 hours, and that could be we might want to limit that and take a look at that to the actual contract that he signs. So thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Tacker again. This is the item that I actually came for. it is the contract, the dotted line that he'll be signing on, and you've got him in here for 40 hours a week. 40 hours a week is not part-time, it's not temporary, and it doesn't add up to $20,000. It goes over. It's $40,000 and 1 year's work. You only have $30,000 budgeted. So there's an error in the contract. If the contract had been maybe at committee, this error would have been caught sooner, and I wouldn't be here pointing it out. A question I have about the scope, and when you're asking a consultant to teach your staff, why does a consultant teach their way out of a job? It's just a funny thing that's kind of what they'll be doing. But then again, if they're really going to work 40 hours a week and set themselves up for a year, maybe this isn't a temporary position at all. It's setting themselves up for a permanent position. But if we're still talking about $30,000 and 20 of it going to somebody who's already been chosen, that your intent, but the contract says different, then that leaves $10,000 from your budget for this item. And we know that a calendar costs $10,000. So that doesn't leave you much money to do much outreach, much of anything else. So I don't know what Mr. Finch will recommend, but I hope that recommendation, whatever it is thoroughly vetted at the committee and in front of the board.
There are any other speakers after Lindy? Lindy and then Richard, and then I'm going to need a motion to continue, or we're not going to continue.
Ready? Lindy Owen, I'm also on the utilities committee and have been, you know, I'm very supportive that we do something like this. The idea was to pretty much, the job description is very vague. The hours here listed as variable, 10 to 20 hours per week on average. I don't know. I just feel like I'd like to know a little bit more. I think we do respect Ron Munz's expertise and knowledge, and I think his recommendation is probably one of the best people we could probably get. But I think it needs to be looked at by the committee each month and so that we can be in tune and know that we're getting where we want to be going. We're setting up a new program that's never been done in Los Osos. The water auditing, again, we talked originally about targeting the top 100 users. That's quite different from doing the individual homeowners and having them call up and ask for us to come help them. There were ideas that we could start training more people that could be volunteers that would be on that. So I just don't want this to be this open-ended thing where somebody has been asked in for $20 an hour with a contract that says up to 40 hours per week and is supposed to be part-time, 10 to 20 per hour on average, depending or subject to program funding availability, must be able to work on weekends if requested. I would really like to make sure that we work closely together, and I think there should be some money budgeted for the overhead and expenses. And then we also, I really want to make sure that this doesn't turn into a, somebody that has no accountability and doesn't gets to keep their own out.
Richard Margetson, I didn't hear all of the general manager's discussion introducing this item, but I'm a member of the subcommittee, the Water Conservation Subcommittee, and I was pretty sure that we had set an initial limit of 10,000 of the 30,000 until we saw where revenues were going to come in with this new water rate today, because part of this new rate increase was the set aside of 30,000 for water conservation. And if this contract is fully exercised and he uses up all of the hours in there, that's just the labor cost is almost a little over 19,000. Maybe I lost something in translation here, but this wasn't my understanding. I completely agree with Ron Munn's recommendation. I believe the gentleman's qualified. I think it's a necessary program. I think we got to get started as soon as possible. You know, all those components I agree with. But we heard from the utilities report that we were up just slightly in revenue and down in consumption. We're not tracking right now for this first month under the new water rate at the anticipated revenue. And, you know, let's just be careful. And again, I'm telling you, my understanding was that it was 10,000, and the way this contract reads, without providing any materials or anything else for him to work with, you possibly could be at, I think, $19,200 for just wages. So that's my comments.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion to continue past 10? We have to finish this item, and then we have one public comment.
Yes, I move that we continue the meeting past 10.
Any objection? Unanimous? Okay. We'll bring it back to the board then for discussion.
I have one thing I'd like to point out for everybody that missed it. Everybody focused on D in the contract. You forgot about E, the very next item, limited to 960 hours a year. That's 20 hours a week. I mean, it doesn't need to be fixed.
No back and forth here. Okay, please.
It sets 960 hours a year, 40-hour week, 52 weeks in a year is over 2,080 hours. So he's not getting anything but halftime work.
I think we're giving him halftime work, and we're also, the contract's a totally at-will contract. So there's, I don't.
Richard's comments, too. But I think to fully implement. And again, that would be the maximum hours that we would have Justin for, and I believe he completely understands that, that in the event that we can't continue or we get as far as we can, then the contract is terminated.
Well, I think there was a good suggestion brought up that there'd be regular reports to the Water Advisory Committee, and
absolutely,
we could evaluate how this is working. We've never done it before, but if we don't start someplace, we're never going to start.
I'd almost hate to eat his time up making him come to committee meetings, but if he was in contact with utility staff and they could furnish that report, I mean, we're not giving him many hours to take a tenth of them to come to committee meetings.
Yeah, I think we all agree on the urgency of the matter, so if we have further discussion.
There's a termination for convenience clause, so I'm okay with this.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the contract with Justin Finch.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? Any objection to unanimous roll call? Seeing none, we have unanimous roll call. That will move us then to picking up public comment for those that missed the earlier public comment, which is only one person, Richard.
Richard Margetson, two items if I can get them in. Mr. Gibson, 2 weeks ago at Board of Supervisors, informed the community in response to a public comment, which was mine, that the cost of the wastewater project on a monthly basis will be $160. Please stay tuned on September 28th to the board update, because I think the spin factor is going to be in full force that day, because I've run the numbers every which way, and unless they're leaving out a component, which is either the on-lot cost or us having to pay for what the second 218 isn't going to pick up or whatever, numbers don't come out to 160. And the $80 million loan and grant package was reduced to $4 million grant and now an $83 million loan with USDA. And even with the decrease in the interest rate by half a point, it doesn't make up the difference. There's no way it makes up the difference. And it's going to pay less. Condos are going to pay less. Restaurants, Ralph's is going to pay more, those type of things. There's no way the average is 160. But please stay tuned, because I think you're going to hear things on the 28th that you're not going to believe. The other thing I wanted to mention briefly, and I know it's still a few months off, but somebody told me the other day in the bank that as of last Saturday, it's 13 weeks till the Needs and Wishes Christmas event here at the community center. So please start collecting your coins. Mark the calendar for December 11th all day. The need is greater, as you've seen in the paper. And what's going to be different this year with relation to the proceeds, because every penny from the event goes to the shelter, and nothing in the room, we have no overhead, so everything in the room was donated by somebody. But this year, portion of the proceeds is going to go and be set in a separate account, probably with the Community Foundation, towards the new shelter. We haven't determined what percentage, but that's going to start this year. If anybody has any questions or would like early contact, 528-5800, 528-5800. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment and go to closing comments by the directors, although these will be only semi-closing because we're going back in the closed session.
I have one brief one that kind of popped into my mind when I heard Al talking about water conservation and ways to be efficient in your yard. One of the best things you can do is get a sprinkler controller that has multiple times on it. Rather than run your circuit for an hour to water your plants, run it in 3 10-minute increments spaced apart. Give your plants 10 minutes of water, let them sit for a few, give them 10 more. That water doesn't just run all the way through the root zone that way. You get repeated applications on your root zone. More efficient use of your water. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thanks, everyone. Also, Cal Poly defeated their nemesis, Montana, which made up for 2 years ago. So congratulations.
Director Kelly.
A few. The county's climate action plan is being publicly vetted. And I apologize, I don't have the time, but it's going to be September 19th at the Slow. It's going to be a hunger walk for the that's being sponsored by, I think, the Clergy and Lady for Justice in coalition with the Food Bank Coalition. I will be walking, so if you don't want to walk, you can just give me your money. And I do designate 50% of that. You get to determine where it goes, and I send it to the King's Cupboard here in Los Osos. So 50% will go to the food bank, and then 50% will go to King's Cupboard here in Los Osos for local distribution. And then on October 2nd, which is a Saturday, creek cleanup day, and that information regarding that can be found through the Land Conservancy website. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. So they'll be vetting at the vets building.
Vetting at the
vet. Okay. I'd like to just a couple reminders. Director Kelly and I, the returning directors, are sponsoring a candidates meet and greet on Sunday, October 3rd from 1 to 4 at the old schoolhouse, where everybody in the community is welcome, the directors who are not running for re-election as well.
Bring snacks.
We will have my award-winning chili, so be ready for that. This Sunday, 2 to 4, Audubon Society is having a recognition ceremony at Sweet Springs for their donors to the expansion into the East Sweet Springs. So 2 to 4, Sweet Springs this Sunday. Coastal Cleanup Day, the 25th, already been mentioned. I think that's it. So with that, our next meeting is October 7th, I believe. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll just say goodnight. I'll keep it brief.
Our next meeting is October 7th. At this time, our next regularly scheduled meeting, we will go now and adjourn back into closed session.